Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Well, it is my privilege and honor to bring up one of our great friends who has just spoken so much wisdom into our life. He is a skilled man of God when it comes to the topics that we're going to cover today. We are finishing up our series called Rooted Identity Stewards. Okay, and Ron and I actually sat down and put this thing together. But Ron, why don't you come on up and welcome Ron to the platform. And I'm just going to say, Ron, I am so grateful for you. Meek and I are so grateful for you and, of course, your lovely wife, Christine. And before you preach, Christine, why don't you come up? I think we're trying to make a habit of this. Come on up, Mika. We just want to pray for you, because by the time it's all over, you know, we'll probably forget to do this. So let's go ahead and do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ron and Christine. We thank you for their influence. We thank you for the wisdom that you've put on their lives. Thank you that they have dedicated themselves to you, to serving you, to following you, to doing all that you have for them to do. We ask, God, that you would pour out your spirit on Ron, that you would speak within his voice, that, God, people would hear you as he speaks. And, Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in them. We bless their marriage. We ask, God, that you would take their intimacy and all the fruitfulness of their life to a new level. And we praise you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, make sure you turn that mic on. All right.
Do I have it on? Very good. Thanks, everyone, for having me. It's really an honor to be here this morning. I just want to first thank this church for loving so well onto my favorite mother-in-law. She's a gift. She's a gift. As I was preparing, I asked Christine if I could share my talk with her last night just to kind of do a dry run. And she said, boy, you're a little serious. I mean, can you let some of the Paisan hand talking out a little bit and relax? And I said, you don't understand. I'm teaching at Harvest. This is the major league of stewardship. Amen. This church is exceptional when it comes to this subject. And you can boldly say that we are strong when it comes to stewardship. And it's my hope, and the reason why I'm so passionate about this, it's my hope that the church can become more than just benevolence when it comes to finance. What if the church was the epicenter, the foundation of finance? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's my passion, and that's primarily why I'm here this morning. So thanks for having me. It's really been a great series. The Bible's serious about this subject. Scholars say there's 2,350 verses about money, possessions, provision, trust. And so I thought this morning we would go through all 2,350 verses. So let's bring out the word. What do you think? With my time here today, I just want to walk through what we're going to be introducing in the month of June, the four sections of financial wisdom that will really help us simplify the money possession conversation. It's in this series, we've covered several of these already, but I thought we would take a quick review before I head into the fourth topic, which is hope, focusing on God's promise of tomorrow. So for me, in this series, our handling of money and possessions, the behavior behind that is an equally powerful witness. People who proclaim the good news of Jesus, guess what? Those people are watching us. Through it, we'll either tell the world that that despite being Christ followers, we are looking to merely be the same thing as everybody else, finding security in our finances, or that we're going to be living into a different, very different, powerful story. Yeah. So as we dig deeper into these four H's of financial wisdom, the heart, the habits, health, and hope, it's his promise that we will find freedom through God's word. So our first H is about where our heart is in relation to God. Matthew 6:21, we've heard this. For where your treasure is, the heart will be also. In this context, the idea of your heart is where your emotions are, but also where your reason comes out of. This is what the ancients believe with this word heart. It's both the source of what we love and what we believe.
Yeah, come on.
So what this verse is telling us is that where we put our treasure will move both our love and our belief. So that's why we start here with the heart perspective. Within the heart perspective, there are four different levels of perspective. Let's run through these. The first one being stewardship. We've talked about this. Or a stewardship mentality. So good to see Harvest Valley take on this as a core value.
Yeah.
Managing heaven's resources for the Father's business.
Come on,
man. That's solid. It offers us the opportunity to live into a lifestyle where God owns it all.
Amen.
If you think about it, everything we are is because of God.
Amen.
My education, where I was born, the lovely lady I married, my son, my favorite mother-in-law. It's all because of God.
Amen.
He put me in the right place at the perfect time so that everything that I accomplish is a result of where God put me. Do I live like God's the owner of everything that I am and everything that I have?
Yeah.
Do I live in a way where I glorify God as the owner of all things? And do I really care about how his resources are used? It's a really important perspective to have. Next is contentment. The contentment perspective believes what I have right now is enough. Now, it's a hard concept for many of us. I get that. But the only way we can live as if what I have right now is enough, whether it's little or much. Let me just talk on little or much for a minute, okay? I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to go here.
Yeah.
You know, as humans living in a worldview, we have the tendency to see who has more than us. And sometimes we have the tendency to who has less than us. What if we had a different thinking on this?
Come on.
What if we lived in a different way where what I believe is that there's no competition in the kingdom of God?
Amen.
What if we view each other as just a vital part of the greater body? Going back to contentment, Paul understood contentment. Paul in Philippians 4:11, 14, I want to read this. Not that I am speaking from being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I could do all things through him who strengthens me.
Amen.
So contentment, it's not just about what we have right now in the moment. Contentment is about in whom we are placing our trust.
Yeah.
So I'm learning to be content with what I have right now by placing my trust in who God is. The next perspective is wisdom. Do I believe that God's wisdom is true and available? That it is open to you and I today, and we can ask him, and he will help us make wise decisions. Because what I know about God is that he is infinitely wise, in his, and his wisdom is always true. But it's not always conventional. And so I have to be willing to trust that God's wisdom is right, even when it goes against the worldview.
Yeah. Amen.
Even when it feels backwards. Think about, biblically, about the first shall be last.
Yeah.
Or when he calls us to give everything and trust that he will provide. Those things are hard. But if I believe his wisdom is available to me, and that his wisdom will actually work, even when I feel like it's against culture, am I still willing to follow him? The next heart perspective is faith. This perspective asks, do I believe and demonstrate my faith through my finances? Do I believe I can live through my faith on how I spend, not my money, but his money? What the Bible tells us is that money can destroy our faith. But it can also build us up.
Amen.
So money has a unique opportunity in our lives to be a thing that draws us away from God, or it can draw us incredibly closer. The Bible is very clear that if we put money in front of God, it will actually lead our hearts to despise God and love money. What kingdom do my spending habits support? So as we think about money, will we be willing to let God use our money to increase our faith and trust? I certainly hope so. So that's the heart perspective. We're going to go on to the next H, which is health. Health is where we take a snapshot on how we are spending money. It's today's reality. To simplify, there's five simultaneous competing ways we use money. Living, giving, the owed of debt, the owed of taxes, and saving. When we look at the pie diagram, we see these five wedges. Each one of these wedges is guided by biblical wisdom. A lot of that goes back to the heart perspective. It's where we apply the wisdom now. The live wedge is where we work out our lifestyle. We see money as a tool. We are called to use it for its proper purposes. The Bible gives us direction and how we identify and use these purposes. As an example, to care for our families. And of course, to care for others. It tells us to learn to be content. To live in a lifestyle with what we have today and not strive for bigger, better, flashier lifestyles. It teaches me to celebrate with God and his provision as I worship him. I'm going to pull out something here. I was going to use a $1 bill, but because of inflation, I decided to go to a $2 bill.
Yeah.
So funny thing about this is this $2 bill has an infinite amount of ways that it can be spent. Personally, I think I have found most of those ways. Because I allow for the world to manipulate my thinking. Check out this quote from speaker Danielle Strickland. It goes like this. Some people are so poor, all they have is money. Maybe we can say that together. Ready? Some people are so poor, all they have is money. You know, when I was first presented with that statement, man, people were ripping through my head. Oh, man, I know that guy. I know that guy. No. The Holy Spirit said, oh, no. Oh, no. Practice what you preach. There's no competition in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, come on.
But then I thought, how does that statement really pertain to me? What's the reality I'm living into today? I appreciate this health diagram as it not only describes the five competing ways of this single $2 bill, but it places God at the center of it all.
Yeah.
What if every financial decision was a spiritual decision requiring prayerful consideration? Father, how would you have me use your money? Allow the decision of this spending to be selfless. God, grant me an eternal mindset that will glorify you in a way that is infectious to others. We're going to spend some additional time on health in the class next month. Looking forward to that. Our next H is on habits. If you didn't see Chris's teaching several weeks back, I would encourage you to do so. It is terrific. But just as a recap, biblically wise habits are easy to understand. Yep. They're not rocket science, but they're incredibly hard to apply because we're so influenced by the world's mindset. And it can be very hard to adapt and apply to these consistently. So again, keep in mind that there are five ways that in this habit category, and I'm going to walk through them relatively quickly, but here we go. These five principles will work for anybody at any level of income at any time. The first one, spend less than you earn. Nothing works without this. I can only do this if I am content with the lifestyle that I have today. Second, give generously. Chris just talked about it. Stole my thunder. But giving also helps me to be content. It helps us break the power of money. Let's all say that. Giving breaks the power of money. Ready? Giving breaks the power of money. It's a practice that aligns our hearts with God. It draws us closer to Him. The next principle, avoid the use of debt. Debt absolutely mortgages the future. Building up debt causes additional anguish as we place ourselves in the mindset of needing more, reducing our levels of margin in life. I would go on to say that debt may even shackle future callings or opportunities. In the Bible, the rich man was called by God to lay down all he had to follow him. The world doesn't say that. What does the world say? The world says, lay down your debt and vote for me. Sorry, I had to go there. You might have to edit that piece out, Chris. The worldview versus the biblical view.
Yeah.
Next is the principle of planning for financial margin. Because the unexpected is to be expected. It allows us to meet the needs that arise, not only for ourselves, but for others. Without margin, we will be trapped and may be forced to take on debt. Remember, the world says, if you don't have enough money, don't worry. There's plenty to borrow. Which leads us into long-term goals. Long-term goals is a way to trade off the short-term in preparing for the long-term needs. A long-term time horizon typically helps with making a more mature financial decision today. And not just for our lifetime, but for an internal perspective type of timeline. If I can develop the mindset of making long-term decisions on eternity instead of this life,
come on.
Man, my decisions are going to be radically different. So we may be good at some of these and we may wrestle with others. And in the class for next month, we'll address them all as they are foundational to the experience, to experience the freedom God promises. And that leads us into the final H, which is hope. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This helps us gain confidence in the future, both on earth and in eternity. No matter what happens here on earth, we know where we're going.
Yep.
Until we can live into the biblical truth that God owns it all, can we conclude there's more we are invested into by Jesus that money simply cannot buy? Yeah. Are we prepared to be profoundly wealthy? Are we ready to live into such godly abundance while not owning anything?
Come on.
Yeah. Nowhere in Scripture does God relinquish ownership of his creation to us. Our Lord's been generous since creation. God's promise and provision states that through our faith, he will provide. He will protect. He will care for us. And that whoever believes in Christ Jesus will not perish, but will have eternal life. My hope is for the eternal perspective. It's awesome. I find it amazing when I read about Jesus and in my recent studies, the only perfect man to walk this earth, Lord, Savior, Messiah, and yet he had an utter dependence on the Father. Here's my hope for all of you and certainly for myself. That we live in a way that has utter dependence on Jesus. That's my hope for all of us to live into. No matter where we might be on the margin meter. Maybe we're in a space of trying to make ends meet. Maybe we're in a space where we have more than enough. No matter. utter dependence on Jesus. The hope for tomorrow's promise. Are we ready to shed our dependence of money and possessions? Can I geek out for you on it just a minute here?
Please.
I'm going to geek out. You know, over the past 50 years, we have been, for those of us who just turned 50, 48, sorry, getting there. Over the past 50 years, we've been exhaustively chasing a depreciating currency. Research has shown inflation has depreciated the buying power of dollar over time. The buying power of a $1 bill since 1972 has depreciated to just 14 cents today. Let me say that again. The $1 bill, now a $2 bill, over the past 50 years has depreciated the buying power of just 14 cents. I believe this is one of the primary reasons we continue to chase money. The exhaustive pursuit. Not just chase it, but the exhaustive pursuit. Could this be the reason why we're so tired? We're so frustrated? There were seasons where I had depression over it. The increase in pursuit due to the decreased buying power, I believe, has the nation moving farther and farther away from the power of Jesus Christ. There's only so much time in the day, right? We're being called to make a difference. So let's ask ourselves, are we sacrificing God's true abundance, true freedom, due to our exhaustive pursuit of more? Are we ready to place our faith and trust into Jesus, the one who is transcendent, the one who is never changing, the one who's transferable? Are we ready to pursue that versus a transactional, depreciating asset? I don't know about you, but my personal pursuit of money and possessions for most of my life look like this. Honey, you told me to lighten it up. There you go. You can go back one. You can go back one. I think we are constantly chasing something of this world that simply cannot satisfy.
Yeah.
I've been leaning into the scripture to help with the shedding of my pursuit of more. Paul writes in Philippians 4:19, "And the same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs." Yeah. From His glorious riches.
Amen.
Not some, but all. Not from His 401k, but from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Man, He's constantly pouring out His love and grace, not to some, but to all. I had this vision where the posture of Jesus is like an extended hand. And He's saying to me, "Ron, let me help you off that hamster wheel. Come with me. We'll advance the kingdom story together."
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
We've been led to believe by this world that money makes the world go round. I'm convinced. Money is a tool to shape us as a test of trust and obedience, creating a testimony to share into a very dark world. Can we play a game? This is all prompted by my wife to light things up a little bit. All right, let's play a game. Can you pass these out for me? Yeah. So can you reach into your wallets? And purses, wallets, and will you reach in? And will you pull out your favorite credit card? And if you don't have one, let me tell you, the average American has 6.8 credit cards. Borrow one from somebody. So we're going to do this together. Okay. I'll take one. If you got an extra. If not, no worries. So friends, we got them out. What's not on these cards? In God we trust. Come on. How does that happen? Okay. It's my hope we think differently on how we spend God's money. You know, these things are, we don't even swipe them anymore. Now we tap. We're that lazy of a country, right? We just go there, we tap, right? To make a purchase. But what if we just do something a little bit different this morning? And for those of you who got a Visa card, what if you cross that out and just write Jesus? It's now the Jesus card. Come on. It's no longer the Visa card. It's the Jesus card. We are spending his money. For those of you who pull out a MasterCard, what if it's the Master's card? Let's do this. Let's just take the step. We handed out markers. Don't leave the markers in the seat because they're permanent. We don't want the kids getting them.
Preach!
This exercise is a step toward the change of our mindset. Let's just do something a little bit different to mirror the love of Christ. We want to use money in a way that is infectious, that is life-changing. As we graduate into the eternal mindset. I need one. This is a new card, so I needed to mark it up. Thanks for participating with me on that. So are we ready?
Come on.
Are we ready to live into our best life ever? Being wealthy while not owning anything.
Come on.
I'm excited about the class coming up. Hopefully all of you can register ahead of time. We've ordered materials, so they're on their way. But if we've got to order more, bring it. But we will take the next 4 Sundays in June, right after this service, to kind of dive into this thing. And I have to just tell our testimony. It's funny, I led this class at Cedar Hills a little over a year ago, and it affected the hearts of Christine and I like immediately. Here I am leading the class.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will be present.
Amen.
And it's my hope that we all come out changed. So I've hit you pretty hard this morning. I'm excited about what the Holy Spirit's going to unveil to all of us. It's been a great series. And I'm so proud that this church is strong on money. Strong. So thank you for that. I'd like to close this in a prayer. And this prayer is from one of my mentors, Michael Blue, author, teacher. And if you would just close your eyes with me for a moment, I want to read this. He sent this to me a few months back. Goes like this. Father God, I desperately long to have an eternal perspective on my life. To realize any earthly possession that I wrestle with today is nothing in comparison to your promise that has already been given to me. To see myself as I am in God's eternal order. How liberating this world would be. I pray that each of us can move into this biblical reality a little more today. God, let us see what we have failed to see before. Be what we hope for in our eternity, become concretely real in our present. Again, thank you for your time this morning. So honored to be here. I didn't think I was going to get through it. I was a wreck during prayer this morning. Wreck. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.